bit wired up. Good to be with you again. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to come to New Cumnock to read the scriptures and to preach the gospel. I'm going to look at a few verses in the Old Testament in Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, and in chapter 55. Now, I remember about 5 years ago coming here and we read verses from this same passage. And I wanted to read some other verses from the passage tonight, and as God would give help, see what he's got to say to us. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to read from verse number 6. Isaiah 55 and 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And the Lord will bless us tonight, these few verses from his own precious word. The old prophet says to us tonight, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He says, call upon him while he is near. Did you get the personal tone of this gospel message that we're preaching tonight? The old prophet doesn't say, as a country, seek the Lord. But he says, to you as an individual, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He says, call ye upon him while he may be found. Now tonight, I want to tell you, my dear friend, that this message, the message of the gospel, is for you as an individual. Forget about the person sitting next to you. Forget about that person in the same street as you. Forget about that person that you might work beside. This message tonight is for you as an individual. And it's a very urgent message. We would have got that idea if we had read earlier on in the chapter. Verse number 3. Oh, listen to the urgency. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse 1. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, there's an urgency in this message tonight. An urgency to you as an individual to seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. Who is the Lord? Well, we want to tell you that the person that we want to speak to you about tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, there is only one God. Don't listen to what some of these so-called educated, well-learned religious people tell you. There is only one God. Oh, there's many false gods. And there's many little statues and effigies set up as gods. But there's only one God. Now, the God that we're talking about tonight is the God of heaven. He's the God who inhabits heaven. He's the God of eternity. By that I mean, and this is something that we find difficult to comprehend, to understand, that this God who is the God of eternity has no beginning and he will have no end. You and I are creatures of time, and we can understand that space of time between 12 o'clock midday and 6 o'clock tonight. We can understand that six-hour period. But we're in the realms of infinity. And eternity is something that we find difficult to grasp. Something that has no beginning and no end. But that's the God that we're talking about. The living and true God. The God of creation. The one who created all things. Didn't just happen with a big bang. Or as Professor Hawking now tells us, he's given up that theory of the Big Bang theory. And he says it wasn't a bang, but it was an implosion. Everything came in on top of itself. I've never heard so much rubbish in my life from an educated man. But there you go. God created the heavens and the earth. That's his son we're talking about tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ. The one who came into this world of ours, born as a little babe in Bethlehem, and will soon be celebrating his birth, although Christ has been taken out of Christmas now, hasn't it? And it's a time for a party and for getting drunk and enjoying folks enjoying themselves, taking Christ right out of Christmas. But he came into this world, born by virgin birth. Oh, it's not just one religion that lays claim to the virgin birth of Christ, you know. Without the virgin birth of Christ, we would have no gospel to preach. It's one of the pillars of the Christian church. Because we're going to go on this evening to tell you about this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world, and the reason that he came into the world was to die for sinners like me and sinners like you. And we'll explain to you what sinners are just in a little while. And the Bible teaches me that one sinner could never make atonement to God for another sinner. The Bible says that no man could redeem, could pay the price that God demanded for the soul of a man or a woman. The soul is precious, and one sinner could not die for another sinner, could not pay God the price that God demanded that a soul might be free. It took a man of a different kind. It took the man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, that we're talking about tonight, who was sinless because he could not sin. Now, a lot of people will tell you that he could sin, but he chose not to sin. That's a lie from the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ could not sin, and he did not sin. He was born by virgin birth, conceived by the Spirit of God, born through the instrument of the Virgin, and he could not sin. And that's the reason that he was able to go to the cross of Calvary, and we'll talk about that just in a few minutes time, and die for sinners such as we. He came into the world and he said he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, you and I are lost in sin. Bible teaches me that way back there in Eden's garden, sin entered the world. Adam willfully, deliberately sinned. And the Bible says that wherefore as by one man, the man Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and sin has passed, and death has passed upon all men, all women, in that all have sinned. Now, you and I have sinned. We've done that that has offended a holy God. In fact, the Bible says we're born in sin. So, we're born with a nature that sins, and right from a very early age, we start to sin. One of the first words that my little grandson said was, no. When his mum said, do this, he said, no. You're just a wee 18-month-old boy. And he was saying, no. And we sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek sinners, such as me and such as you, to seek diligently for sinners, such as you and such as me. And he came to seek us upon the cross of Calvary. You know, that's the same word that we've got here. Seek ye, seek diligently, seek urgently for the Lord. You know what it is to seek. Lord Jesus, he spoke about a lady and she lost a piece of silver. And it says, she sought diligently until she found it. I think I would be the same if I had to lose a piece of silver that was worth quite a bit of money. I think I would be searching diligently until I found it. There's people, and I'm quite sure there's people in this village tonight, and they are desperately seeking a fix. They need some sort of filthy substance to put into their veins to survive the next hour or so. And I'll tell you, they will seek diligently until they find it. There's others that are seeking to get a few bob to go into an off-license or a pub to get alcohol because they seem to think they can't live without it. And they'll seek diligently. So you know what it is to seek diligently. And that's what it says to us here, that you and I have to seek diligently the Lord while he may be found. We have to call upon him while he is near. As sinners, as men and women, boys and girls that have offended God, we have to call upon him to come near to us and to forgive us our sins, because he's the only one who can forgive us our sins, and we have to do it urgently. Seek the Lord while he may be found. We have to call upon him while he is near. Seek ye, remember, the Lord. It's personal. So this evening, my dear friend, you have to seek diligently after the Lord. And you as an individual have to call upon him while he is near. We mentioned that he came into the world for the specific purpose of going to the cross of Calvary and dying for sinners like us. We were singing about Calvary this evening. I don't know whether you have thought about Calvary, the place called Calvary, just a place that the Romans chose to crucify people who had, according to them, broken the law. Historians would tell us that on this particular site, Calvary, there would be upright posts permanently in place. And when a man broke the law, he would be taken by the Romans, and a beam would be put on his back, and he would be made carry that to this place called Calvary. He would then be thrown down on top of this beam, and his hands would be nailed to that beam. They would then use some sort of implement, possibly sticks, big thick sticks, to raise this up and to put it into a socket on the top of that upright. And then his feet would be nailed to that upright. Oh, what an agonizing death. I've looked into it, and I'll tell you, it is so painful. We just cannot understand the amount of pain that the victim of crucifixion must have had. As the pressure went onto their hands, the searing pain would shoot from their head to their feet. As they would try to relieve that, they would put pressure onto their feet, and again all these nerves and sinews that had been destroyed by the nails would create horrific pain that would shoot throughout the body. That's a horrendous death, crucifixion. And that's what God had designed for his son, that he would die on the cross of Calvary for sinners like you and like me. But something different happened on that cross when the Lord Jesus died. There was 3 hours of darkness. And the Bible teaches me that during these 3 hours of darkness, God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, I wish I could fully enter into what that means. When God took my sin and he placed it upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and during that period he punished him for my sin, that I should have suffered eternally, the Lord Jesus suffered during these 3 hours of darkness as he hung there up on the cross. He bore our sin in his own body upon the tree. You know, there's a hymn, and the hymn writer has said, "What he endured, no tongue can tell, to save my soul from death and hell." And that's a fact. the physical pain and the spiritual pain that he endured, we cannot this evening even start to tell you anything about it. And so it's this same Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified upon the cross, the one who died for our sins, that we've to seek. But I want to tell you, he's not a dead Saviour. He's a living Saviour. He's alive tonight, because on the third, the appointed day, the power that God gave him to lay down his life, because you see, the Roman soldiers didn't take his life from him. He laid his life down willingly and voluntarily. The Bible teaches me that when the soldiers came to break the legs of the Lord Jesus and the other two folks that were crucified with him, they discovered that the Lord Jesus was dead already. He shouldn't have been dead. Sometimes the victims of crucifixion would hang up on that cross for 3 or 4 days, depending on how strong they were. And he shouldn't have been dead by this time, but no man, he could say, taketh my life from me. And he died willingly and voluntarily. He laid down his own life, and the same power that he was given to lay it down, he had that same power to take it up again. And on the third, the appointed day, the Lord Jesus Christ arose triumphant out from amongst the dead ones. He rose out from the grave, and he's alive, and tonight he's in heaven. And we're delighted to tell you that we don't come here tonight to tell you about a dead Saviour, but we're here to tell you about our Saviour who is alive. And so it's this Saviour, this Lord Jesus Christ, that we've to seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and to call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Would that indicate to me that there's a time coming when folks will seek for the Lord and they won't find him? And would that indicate to me that there's a time coming when folks will call upon him for mercy and he won't be there to administer mercy? Well, that's exactly what the Bible is teaching us. Because there's a day coming when this same Jesus, the one who died, was buried, who rose again, and who went back to heaven, is going to come to the clouds. I don't know when that will take place. Some folks tell me that it will be very, very soon, because all the signs are there for him coming again. All I could tell you this evening is that the Bible teaches that he can come at any time. He could come tonight before this meeting finishes. The Lord Jesus Christ is most certainly coming back again. As I say, I don't know when. I know where. He's coming to the clouds. And I know why. He's coming to take all those who in their lifetime have put their faith and their trust in him for salvation home to be forever with himself. Apostle Paul says, I show you a mystery. He says, we'll not all sleep, we'll not all die. He goes on to say that the dead in Christ, those who in their lifetime trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, who have died and have been buried, the dead in Christ will rise first. And he goes on to say that we, the Christians, who are alive at the time when the Lord Jesus comes, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming again. And yes, he is coming soon. And your day of opportunity to become a Christian, to get saved, is getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter by the week, until there's a day coming when you'll have no more opportunity to trust Christ. For he who shall come will come. And what will happen then? My dear friend, you'll be left for judgment. The God of heaven, who sent his Son to die for us upon the cross, so that we might never ever have to face the penalty of our sins, is a holy and a righteous God. And if you do not accept his offer of salvation, then I am afraid you'll be left for judgment. What kind of judgment is that? Well, the Bible teaches me that those who die without Christ as their Saviour will arrive in hell. Hell is a real place. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's not just a word that folks use as a swear word. And I'll tell you something. If these people who use that word hell as a swear word, whether it be a verb, an adjective, or a noun, if they knew the reality of hell, they would never put the word in their lips. Lord Jesus tells about a man who, in his lifetime, he had everything. He had more than any of us put, every one of us put together in this room tonight ever will have. He had everything that his heart desired. But he didn't have God. He just never took God into his reckoning. The Lord Jesus said that man died, and in hell, immediately in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments, plural. How sad. Man who had everything, but at the end of the day had nothing. And he arrived in hell when he died. And he was in torments, plural. What was one of his torments? His old memory. I think I've said this before. You ever went to bed at night and you can't get to sleep? You're thinking about something you said or something you did. You say, I wish I'd never said that. I wish I'd never done that. And you toss and you turn and it keeps in your mind and you sort of doze and you're waking up with a start because it's still in your, oh, the memory. It can haunt you, can't it? And this man was in hell. And his memory was haunting him. He could remember his father. He could remember his brothers. He could remember his father's house and his prayer was. His prayer was, just send somebody to tell them not to come to this terrible place, for I am in torments in the flame. Too late. His day of opportunity to pray was over. And here he is in hell. And his memory is haunting him. And I don't think I'm stretching the fact too much to say that I believe there are people in hell tonight. And they're remembering Sunday nights when they sat in this little room. And they heard the gospel being preached. And they laughed at the idea. And they left without trusting Christ as their Saviour. And they're now in eternity. And they're wishing they had only put their faith and trust in Christ. But they're there for all eternity, forever and ever. And ever. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. There's a day coming when your day of opportunity will have gone. No more opportunity to trust Christ as your Saviour. And you'll be left for judgment. Tragic. So many folks have good intentions. Well, I believe the gospel. I know I need to get saved. I'll leave it to next week. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for us, you know. With regard to getting to know Christ as your Saviour, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is God's day of salvation. The day of opportunity is going to come to an end, and come to an end soon. And what then? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Hang on a minute, you say, that's not me. I'm not an unrighteous person. I'm not a wicked person. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. We're living a world, as we were reminded in the prayer meeting tonight, a world of evil. A world that thrives on sin. Thrives on trying to model itself on the sinful attitude and practice of so-called celebrities. People, whether they be sports personalities or pop stars or film stars, the world holds them in awe. And the majority of them, quite honestly, you wouldn't give tuppence for because of the way they live their lives. Drugs, drink, immorality. The language is atrocious. One of the highest paid presenters that the BBC has, foul-mouthed, ignorant man. Should have been sacked. Oh no, the cop, bring him back. That's the kind of man we want on the radio. That's the kind of world we're living in. And I'm delighted to hear that you're not like that. But my dear friend, I want to say to you, you might be the best living person in this village tonight. You might be a religious person. But as God looks down from heaven, he sees us in one of two categories. Either as sinners, or as sinners saved by grace. Has there been a moment in your life when you've come to know Christ as your Savior? Or are you still in your sin? Are you bound for a lost eternity? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't get on your high horse. Don't think you're better than anybody else. You need to be saved the same as I needed to be saved. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. As God sees you, you're no different from anybody else. You need to be saved. I'll take my chance. You see, I go to church on a Sunday, and I read my Bible, and I give to charity, and I do work for charity, and I'm delighted to hear it. I wish there was more people like you. But God says, listen, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. God said, with regard to salvation, there's only one way of getting to heaven. And that's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And our good living, our charitable deeds, will never take us to heaven. Commendable though they might be, our religious practices will never take us to heaven. The only way we'll ever be in heaven is by coming and repenting of our sin, being truly, truly sorry for the way that we've lived our life, acknowledging that we've offended God, and turning our back on the old way of life and looking to Christ on the cross, asking him to save us and to come into our lives and to lead us and to guide us. Coming up to January time, I know that I'm looking a wee bit ahead, but just to illustrate it, you'll get folks then and they'll take their big sheet of paper and they'll write out their New Year resolutions. And they'll maybe have about 20, 25 New Year resolutions. I'm going to stop this and I'm going to start that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to... you know what it's like. Come the 2nd of January, that 25 is down to 18. And come the 3rd or the 4th of January, we're down to 5. And come the 10th of January, the paper's in the bin. Because you see, we cannot change in our own strength. We need the power of Christ in our lives to help us to change. And I know so many people who have decided that they're going to change the way they live. Some of them are now in their 20th time that they've tried to change their life and they can't. But when Christ comes into your life, he gives you the power to overcome that habit. These bad thoughts, these evil deeds, he comes in and he saves us. And he makes us a new creation. So God says to us tonight, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. He said, you know, since my word is going to accomplish that in the place where I have sent it to. I do believe that we're in working or we're acting in accordance with the mind of God tonight. As we open his precious word and as we read it and as we preach the gospel. And there are literally millions of places around the world tonight where the gospel is being preached. Has been preached today. And folks are being saved. And here we are in what used to be known as Bible-loving Scotland. And there's very few homes have a Bible in them today. And the gospel is being preached on a regular basis. And folks are rejecting Christ as their Savior. But I tell you this. In India tonight, where people are being persecuted for their beliefs in Christ. In China, in Malaysia, Indonesia, and in countries that we don't even know about, the gospel's been preached. And men and women are being saved. And here we are in a privileged country, in a privileged town, and the gospel's being preached, and few are coming to hear it, and even fewer are receiving it and making it their own. I'll take my chance. I'll take your chance. But I'll tell you, you'll arrive in hell, and eventually the lake of fire. And there'll be a day coming when you'll have to stand before the righteous judge himself, the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. And when I get into the book of Revelation, it tells me there that the books are opened. Don't be stupid. How does God know everything that we've done? I'll tell you, there's computer systems today that can tell you what you did yesterday. Don't think everything you see in the television is work of fiction, you know. Big Brother, as they call them, is watching us. There's things that we can find out about other people that would really, really surprise you. If men can do it, God can do it. And everything that we've ever done, said, thought, is recorded in the book in heaven. And the books are opened. And the book of life is opened. That's a very important book. And it says that whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the final outcome for those who reject Christ as their own and personal Savior. But for those who in their lifetime have trusted Christ, what a joy to look forward to heaven, to the Father's house. You know, I used to love to go to my dad's house. Always used to love to go up and see him. He used to encourage me. He'd always something to give me. What more is it going to be like when we reach heaven? The Father's house, the place of many mansions, where Christ is. That's what awaits those who trust Christ. But for those who reject him, it's hell in the lake of fire. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. As God sees us, we're in one of two categories. Sinners. Or sinners saved by grace. What we think, what we do, will never merit favor with God with regard to salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all through his death upon the cross. What you need to do tonight is to repent of your sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And trust him, the one who died upon the cross, believing that when he died there, he died for your sins. And rest where God rests tonight, on the finished work of Christ. Will you do that? Our heart's desire and earnest prayer to God for you as an individual is that you might be saved, shall we pray. Our Father, as we're bowed in thy presence, we are totally amazed tonight that thou should be long-suffering with us and give us a further opportunity of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Saviour. For every heart bowed in thy presence who do know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, we give thee thanks. And we thank thee for that day in which we can look back to when we came and trusted him. And what a joy it would be, our Father, tonight if someone or ones who are not yet saved would only realize the fact that time is very, very short and eternity is coming soon and that we must be born again. We must come know him whom to know is life eternal. So we leave the verses of Scripture with thee, our Father. And we leave anything that's been said that's been of thyself for the Holy Spirit to use in the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. We pray, our God, that we might have the joy of hearing of some dear one-on-ones trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. Part us with thy blessing. Be with us throughout the remainder of this day. We do commit ourselves to thee, our Father. We don't know what the future holds. Not one of us can boast ourselves of tomorrow. So we do pray, our God, for an urgency with regard to salvation. Take our thanks. Bless us, we pray, as we return it to thee in the Saviour's own worthy and precious name. Amen.